The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning. It is Monday, the 6th of January, 2020. It's Oliver Callan here, stepping in for Ryan Tubridy, who will be back tomorrow. The text is 51551. Email ryan at rte.ie. 2020. It's getting harder and harder to get used to saying that. I think 2020 is what I heard Marty Whelan call it this morning. So there's even a debate about what we can call the year, even though we couldn't name the last decade. But at least now we're in the 20s. It is underway. So try to enjoy it. And I think it being the first Monday of the new year, the new decade, whatever passes for normal in this wee country of ours is resuming, and schools, I think, are back, and the businesses out there, and farms and ditches and criminal enterprises, because that requires a bit of effort as well, and potting stills, I'm sure, are dusted off, and a bit of diesel laundering and all that. But, you know, if you're out there and you're getting into that, there's new starts you can use. You can turn over a new leaf if you want. There was a real sense of, I suppose, the beginnings and the customs of the new year on the telly at the weekend. Dancing with the Stars, of course, huge show that is fourth year now, a new year custom for us. We'll be talking about that later on this morning. Operation Transformation ads have begun, but I haven't stopped the binge eating. That's going to take a while. So, you know, I think Wednesday is when that begins. And Tommy Tiernan started his new series on Saturday night. And I was just thinking that with the last couple of days we had here and in the country in general, we have to sort of, you know, pay tribute to those who are still with us, the treasures and the icons we had. And I just think there was a special moment when he had Hozier on, and he kind of coaxed Hozier into doing a bit of Leonard Cohen with him, Suzanne. It was just one of those little special moments. It was graceful as well as being funny. And I just think we should celebrate those who he is. In my view anyway, my humble view, and I'm only a child of the live comedy stage, Tommy is our greatest. He's our greatest ever comedian, and we should say that. And I've no vested interest or love in dimension of that, because I've never met the man at all. I nodded at him once at a fuel station, but he remains a bit of a mystery to a lot of us, I suppose, because he doesn't do the celebrity thing. But also, I'm mostly glad that Tommy and his art of comedy and the challenging comedy that he does has survived the political correctness culture wars, if you can call it that. And another lad who I just love over the years and who really knows how to punch upwards is Ricky Gervais. And he presented the Golden Globes last night, his fifth time doing so. And it's 10 years since he roared into the awards ceremony, a very stale kind of awards ceremony. TV format, I suppose, because they're all sitting there. It's the one where they're at the dinner tables and they get the drink of the Golden Globe. So it felt a bit edgier even to begin with. But Ricky is someone who came in, they expected him to kind of joke and laud them in a way. But of course, he shocked them, and they sat there in stunned silence. I think one of his early jokes back then, 10 years ago, was when he introduced Bruce Willis and called him Ashton Kutcher's dad. And my favourite one was when he comes out with a beer in his hand and he says, "I like a drink as much as the next man, unless the next man is Mel Gibson." And of course it was Mel Gibson, and he comes out looking really haggard and not at all happy that he was the butt of the joke. By the way, that shows how long ago that was. Mel Gibson was relevant. Remember him? So he came back in the age of woke Hollywood, because a lot has happened in the 4 years since he presented it. And he inevitably ruffled feather boas. That's the idea of having Ricky Gervais there. He's savage. He's sarcastic. He's very, very funny. Greta Thunberg got a mention. Jeffrey Epstein. Nothing was off limits. But I think the best gag of the night was at the expense of Leonardo DiCaprio. And it's worth bearing in mind that when he's cracking this joke from the stage, Leo is in the room at that very minute.
The Irishman was amazing. It was amazing. Long, but amazing. It wasn't the only epic movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, nearly 3 hours long. Leonardo DiCaprio attended the premiere, and by the end, his date was too old for him. So,
You can hear the ooze. And that's kind of the, it was one of those moments that you get when an audience gives you that kind of, oh, you shouldn't have said that. But anyway, he eviscerated woke Hollywood. A lot of the media, I think, in America particularly upset about it, but that's kind of part of the game, isn't it? It's the, we can't just enjoy a bit of fun, a bit of, particularly when the targets are these closeted millionaires or billionaires in some cases. He told some of the stars, if ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent. There you go. The Golden Globes themselves, not exactly the most revered awards, but there are some interesting ones. 1917 won Best Picture, so I'm looking forward to that one. It's a good war film. Sam Mendes is in there. Joaquin Phoenix, of course, won. And Brian Cox, I know this show is a big fan of Succession, so a big win for him there in the Golden Globes. Now, it is the 6th of January, which also means the Epiphany, the day when the three kings or the Magi arrive to visit Christ in the crib and he brings the gifts. And I think in Spain they still do gifts for children, and Russia, because they're operating on a different calendar, I think this is Christmas Eve for them. But in Ireland, it is Nollag na Mban, Women's Christmas, a big thing in Cork and in Kerry. And this is something I was reading on the RT.ie website, the roots and traditions of Nollag na Mban, and I think it trends big on Twitter, it has in recent years anyway. So Marion McGarry from the Galway Institute, Galway Mayo Institute of Technology, was writing about how on this, the final day of Christmas, January 6th, was known in Ireland as Nollag na Mban, or Women's Christmas, or Little Christmas. It was known in our house as Little Christmas. And as a reward for their hard work over the Christmas season, it was a day off from all the housework for women, and the traditional roles were supposed to be reversed in the home. Men did the women's work while women rested and gathered together informally. It was considered unlucky to take down the Christmas tree and the decorations before the 12th day of Christmas, a custom still recognised and practised by many, myself included. It is still up, full works. I'll have the lights on tonight before we take them down tomorrow. Now, this is one that interested me. When the decorations were taken down, the holly was traditionally retained for Shrove Tuesday, Pancake Tuesday as we'd know it, when it would be used in the fire for cooking the pancakes. An interesting little tradition you could start yourself, although finding somewhere to stick the holly on top of all the decorations, because Christmas is like organised clutter, so it gives you that fresh feeling when you've taken it down. But most people, I think, have taken them down because I can see needles and stuff scattered all over the place. Now, this is the other thing that interested me in this. On this day, back in the day, in some parts of the country, mothers rubbed the tail of a herring across the eyes of their children to give immunity against disease for the rest of the year. This is the mad pagan spiritual sort of customs that we had in this country, which I just love to read about and hear, you know, made up stuff. I remember the holes in limestone rock when they filled with water was supposed to be a cure for warts. True story. And I think in Monaghan we're especially pagan. We could make up all sorts of stuff. If you drive a tractor into a hole under a full moon on St. Swithin's Day facing Carlow, that's a cure for the whooping cough or something like that. But anyway, Nollag na Mban had largely died out by the last century, but is actually undergoing a revival. There are events across the country, hotels and restaurants advertising ladies' afternoon teas and evenings out for the occasion. Glasses of Prosecco are involved as well. That's how fancy we are getting. I read about in Donegal, I think, on Green On Theatre and Letterkenny, have an event with female artists from around the county. And there are people, I think, all over the country doing events. So enjoy that. Happy Little Christmas. It was always a big day in our household, not just because my mother is from Cork, but she's also born on this day. And there's a big birthday in the offing today. So happy birthday, Mammy. And don't take the decorations down. I'll be up later on. Now, swerving beautifully. And actually, this is talking about national treasures that we should celebrate and ones that are still with us. And Irish author John Boyne is one we should celebrate, particularly this morning, because he is in a spot of trouble. Irish author John Boyne, I read in the irishtimes.com, has become involved in a Twitter spat with the official account of the Auschwitz Museum over the accuracy of his best-selling novel, The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. It was published in 2006. It has sold millions of copies. It's been translated into every language, I think, in the world. There was a big film about it. So what happened? Well, on his Twitter account, a little bit of a warning here, this is not the real world, but anyway, we'll continue. Mr. Boyne criticised a proliferation of books with Auschwitz in the title, including The Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris, which was Ireland's best-selling book, not just last year, 2019, but also in 2018. Astonishing success. I don't think I've met anyone who hasn't read it yet. But the official Auschwitz Museum outside Krakow responded by saying that it understood the reservations people had about the historical accuracy in many of the titles that John tweeted about, and he's kind of right. You know, we've seen lots of books. They've got the word Auschwitz, and there's a noun attached, and then they sell really well. It's a genre thing, and he's questioning whether, you know, the subject matter and the title should be treated with a little bit more thought and consideration. But the museum said, while he was right, it went on to say, the boy in the striped pyjamas should be avoided by anyone who studies or teaches about the history of the Holocaust. Yikes. I mean, yikes. And it's worth bearing in mind that the Auschwitz Memorial, and this is the official Twitter account, it is busy on Twitter. It says a lot on Twitter. And has even been critical of the tattooist of Auschwitz, which, of course, was the best-selling book, saying it contains errors and so on. Look, everybody here on a difficult subject is doing a good thing, commemorating the Holocaust. So let's everybody just get along. And John, don't mind the Twitter spat. You are a national treasure, in my view. I've read a lot of what he's done. He even got into trouble for his last book, My Mother's Name is Jessica, because my brother's name is Jessica, because it was in the issue with trans rights and so on. But he was doing, his heart was in the right place. He was raising awareness for a good reason. And I think of the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz coming up at the end of this month. And I think what we should really focus on there is how history, it's only 75 years and 4 days after that 75th anniversary, the UK will leave the European Union. Brexit will finally happen, or at least start to begin to happen. And I just think lessons being learned and the fact that we came together in Europe to stop all this stuff happening again. But anyway, best of luck with you, John. Calm down, everybody, on the Twitter machine. Not real life. That's the clue. Kilkenny is the tidiest town or city in the country, according to the Irish Businesses Against Litter. It is the tidiest place to live. The Marble City took the top spot. North Inner City was the most littered place in Ireland. It was also probably the busiest place in Ireland. Some of them might be a reason for that. Although maybe not such an excuse for Tipperary Town and Gorey that came 29th and 30th on the list. And Drogheda, which is a town that I love because it's got all those little rickety streets and it was perfect for the flagpole and everything, did the poor 31st. But Dublin City, Killarney came second. Killarney stands out for its consistent cleanliness, a great tribute to the businesses and community in this busy tourist town. And Swords came third. That's an article in the Irish Daily Mail by Ronan Smith this morning. But something that caught my eye as we talk about the Golden Globes and all those shows winning awards is this headline in the Daily Telegraph: binge watching drives addicts to seek help. People are being treated for binge watching addiction to television box sets in the first reported cases of their kind in Britain. Patients are seeking help at Harley Street clinics after admitting that Netflix and other on-demand television services have taken over their lives. One man, aged 35, admitted he had put his job at risk through his compulsion for watching crime shows for hours every day. I think we've all been there a little bit, overwatching Netflix. Breaking Bad was the one. I think I saw a lot of 4 o'clocks in the morning. And I was, you know, I managed to hold down the job at the time. One psychotherapist, Adam Cox, treated his patients at Harley Street after they developed an unhealthy addiction to providers. I thought it was unfortunate that his name was Adam Cox because, you know, you're going in if you've got a problem watching Succession, Series 1 and Series 2 back to back, and then your psychotherapist is called Cox. Probably doesn't really help stuff, does it? But it is the TV cliffhanger. I mean, they know what they're at. It's about getting the data and finding out what we're doing. It's a dopamine hit, finding out what's going to happen. And sometimes it's not always as exciting as it might seem. Now, going from binge watching modern shows to the past, I'm the Spy Who Loved Me Too. Bond actor George Lazenby or Lazenby? I can't remember because I barely was aware that this man was still alive. He was the first Bond on Her Majesty's Secret Service, the first one, which was all of 51 years ago now. The Mirror tells us the 80-year-old infuriated female stars by declaring they had squeaky voices and dominate television. He's rejected claims that he's sexist after criticising, after he said that women were taken over the telly. But Lazenby said, Bond was once described correctly as a sexist, misogynist dinosaur. I may be a dinosaur, but he missed the point to describe me as other words. I have huge respect and admiration for all genders, he says. At a time when we have far to progress on equality, I hope I can be known as the spy who loved me too. I think the big stretch there is that he still has fans out there. But anyway, he's still out and running and doing stuff and all of that kind of stuff. But anyway, it is The new year, which means Dancing with the Stars. We'll be talking about that this morning. But one of the hits that you might have noticed last night with Laura and Brian dancing to it was Juice. So here's the one and only herself, the Lizzo. Lizzo and Juice. Juice is connected to January as well. You know, we're all supposed to be on a juice diet, aren't we? But there's a lot of Maltesers left in my press, so I'll have to get through them. January is not a month to start anything new. You know, you don't want to be driving in the dark to the gym, because some of us, when we get to the gym, we look like boiled hams compared to the, you know, the regulars who are kind of scowling at us for getting all tangled up in the rowing machine and all that jazz. Anyway, people get... This is the text machine now I'm going to. People get confused because it's called Little Christmas sometimes, and also Women's Christmas. And only last weekend I heard someone saying, isn't it great that they released a film about Little Women's Christmas? Well, you're dead right. I actually made that mistake myself. I was calling it Little Women's Christmas because I think of the trailer, there's a Christmas tree in it at one stage. But it was a big, big show in our house. And I think we actually had like a third Christmas dinner. We didn't do the Christmas dinner on the New Year's Day. We did it on the 6th of January if it fell on the weekend. Because in my day, there was no school on the 6th of January. The 7th was the earliest. But I still have my tree up, probably because I didn't put up as early as most people. It's been up in November. But anyway, other texts. The best part of the Golden Globes was when Ricky Gervais called Joe Pesci in The Irishman Baby Yoda. Jim says, which way was it a century ago, Oliver? The Roaring Twenties, that's right. The Hungry? Any others? Any nicknames for the 20s? Well, we're only 6 days in, so give it time. But the Roaring Twenties, maybe we prefer a bit of a quiet decade for once, because we've had a lot of roaring now last year. Oliver, it's the year of perfect vision, i.e. 2020. Absolutely correct. I actually wanted to call my live tour something to do with, you know, 2020 vision and all that. And after doing a bit of quick Google, somebody had actually come up with the idea already. Oprah Winfrey. Yeah, so couldn't really do it. Ah, come on, Oliver. There was at least two Bonds before Lazenby, or Lazenby. I don't know what that... Connery, four movies. Ah, is that right? Okay. Connery did four films first, and David Niven in Casino Royale. Patton Arklow is correcting me on my Bond there. I saw a lot of Bond over Christmas, and I kind of roared laughing at most of it because it was just so inappropriate. The Man with the Golden Gun, just absolutely ridiculous. There's a great scene at the end where the Bond girl, as they were known, probably never again, Goodnight, just set off the laser in her bikini, obviously, by just knocking her backside against a huge red button, which required a close-up. And Roger Moore is just yelling from in under the basement, something to the effect of, you stupid woman, would you ever fix that now? But that was the past. And 007 now is very, very woke, I believe. And it's happening in, I think, April or May is when the film comes out. Another great thing about January, and I love the month of January, is the Thinking Man's films come out and all the good films are emerging. But anyway, we are dancing after the break. So chat to us after these messages.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, some of your texts this morning. 51551 is the text, ryan@rte.ie. Oliver, for the love of God, can we consign the term woke and all that goes with it to the nearest dumpster? A most irritating term and attitude. And as for those who go out of their way to display their wokeness, enough already, says Jerry in Galway. Yeah, I don't like the term woke, but people trying to make the world a better place, you know, you can't be too hard on them. I mean, I've heard babies crying on a train once, and I was tempted to tweet that this baby was so woke as a kind of a, you know, but anyway, it didn't work. That's why I didn't tweet it. Oliver, the Moany 20s. If I hear another vegan teenager rant on about climate change with one hand on their mobile phone and another clutching the pennies bag with that weekend's mush, have Teddy coat. What? Angie in Dublin 13 says that, look at, teenagers can be vegan, but they're probably secretly eating Clonakilty black pudding down the back of the sofa, let's face it. But again, they're trying to do a nice thing, so don't be too hard on them. And you can't complain. You can't be complaining about people complaining, because who is the moaniest person if you're moaning about moaning, you see? Oliver, these Netflix shows are lethal. I started watching Messiah last Friday night and binged all 10 episodes until 5 a.m. It is really brilliant. It's a sort of TV equivalent to Mrs. Doyle saying on Father's Head that there was cocaine in her buns. Raisins, cocaine. Happy Nullignamon to all. Ed Finn, still enjoying my Christmas tree in Dublin 1. I am with you all the way on that, Ed. And I binge watch Watchmen, which is not an easy thing to say. And sometimes I worry, it's a bit like Breaking Bad, because I watch so much of it so quickly that I can't hardly remember half of it, or even if I was enjoying it at the time. Whereas I loved Sopranos because I had to watch it week after week after week over the course of many years, and it sticks in my head, and it is the thing that changes telly. Anyway, thank you for your texts.